Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Welcome to Quest for Gold. I'm Ryan Burrow, and we are now just a week away from the Winter Olympics in Milan Cortina. The clock is ticking. We have a ton of info and athletes to get to before the opening ceremony, so let's get at it. I want to start with breaking news this morning from Switzerland, where Lindsey Vonn had an ugly crash on her final downhill before the Olympics. She got tangled up in the safety net. The 41-year-old did get up limping. It looked like her left knee was the problem. She put the skis back on and did make it to the finish line, but had to be airlifted from the mountain after being checked out at the medical tent. Three of the first six racers crashed during the event, and that race had to be canceled. Hopefully, we'll hear more about Vonn's condition in the coming days. All right, next, let's go to the teleconference hosted by the USOPC this week, featuring the organization's leadership and some 2026 Team USA athletes. Rocky Harris, USOPC Chief of Sport and Athletes, broke down the numbers Team USA is sending to Italy this winter.
The 2026 team features 232 athletes. And as it stands right now, that 232 number gives this team the opportunity to surpass the 2018 team for the most Team USA athletes who've ever competed in the Winter Games. So this should end up being the biggest team we've ever brought to the Winter Games. Within that 232 are some truly global stars, returning medal winners, and others who head into the Games with big expectations for themselves. We have 99 returning Olympians, including 7 four-time Olympians, 10 three-time Olympians, and 23 two-time Olympians. In that group are 33 Olympic medalists, including 18 Olympic champions who won a combined 22 gold medals. Three have won multiple Olympic gold medals, and 16 athletes have won multiple Olympic medals. We also know there are so many athletes who are capable of surpassing all expectations, capable of reaching a personal best when it matters most, and that is extremely exciting for me, for my team, the national governing bodies, and for everyone who follows Team USA. But I want to take a moment before questions to speak about the positive experience we've had with the people of Milan Cortina 2026. It's no secret they are working overtime right now to welcome the athletes, the full delegations, and the fans. It's a huge and very complicated process, and we are extremely grateful. The communication from the OCOG to us, to the international federations, and our national governing bodies has been very good. That goes a long way. We have confidence in the organizing committee, the world-class venues, and the people of Italy to deliver an unbelievable Games. The athletes are excited to get there and start competing.
He was also asked about skeleton racer Kaylee Ulander, a 5-time Olympian who was hoping to qualify for her 6th Games, but lost that opportunity because Team Canada withdrew from a competition in Lake Placid that reduced the qualification points in that tournament, making it mathematically impossible for her to earn the points necessary to qualify. Now, Bobsleigh Canada Skeleton initially said the decision to pull its athletes was about safety and long-term development, though many Americans thought the reason was to squeeze Ulander's ability to qualify. And an investigation by the International Bobsleigh and Skeleton Federation found Team Canada did manipulate the outcome of the Cup, but the organization is not taking any steps to punish Team Canada for those actions. Rocky was asked about those next steps.
So we did send a letter to the IOC, and we got a response this morning that they are supporting the International Federation's decision on the matter, since it was an International Federation's decision. And so for us, I'm going to talk to Katie later today and see how she wants to move forward. But we did get a response from them. Thanks for asking.
Is the thought behind it to add a 26th to the women's skeleton field, or would she have to, if she is successful in this, would she be taking one of the two allocated spots to one of the two spots that were allocated to the U.S.?
Yeah, so we were requesting an additional slot for the sport to allocate to Katie, so it would not have taken away from one of our currently competing athletes.
Stay tuned for more information on that. Team USA athletes got their swag bags packed up with gear this week, including shoes, coats, sweaters, even sunglasses. If you follow any of these athletes on social media this week, I'm sure you saw the thousands of dollars in merch they got saddled with before heading off to Italy. Many of those items, of course, are available for sale if you see anything you like. Many of the athletes are already in Europe now trying to get time adjusted ahead of the games. All right, let's get to those athletes. Brady Tkachuk will be representing Team USA's men's hockey team this year. The Ottawa Senator is part of a stacked American roster of NHLers competing in the Olympics. For the first time since 2014, we, of course, broke down the full roster for you in episode 14. So go back and have a listen there. Here's what Brady had to say about the team.
I can't believe it's, throughout this whole year, you're like, oh, February, you know, the Olympics are kind of going to be a long ways away. But now that we're, a week away, week and a half, 2 weeks, it's, it's starting to get really exciting. I know back here for the NHL season, we have a couple more games to get through, so that's kind of still the focus right now. But it's hard not to get excited to go compete with the best players in this country and see some of the best athletes in the world go head-to-head compete for the gold medal.
Question from Stephen Wino with the Associated Press. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks very much. Brady, I know you played with Matthew at the Four Nations last year. What just does it mean for you guys to be able to, as brothers, play together at the Olympics? I know you, Jack and Quinn get the same chance. What does that mean to you? Obviously, it's something you've been waiting for a long time.
Yeah, it's you never really expected it to be a dream come true. You know, of course, that's always something that you've wanted to do, is play at any level with your brother and create memories that way. But the fact that we're going to be able to do it on the top level at the Olympics and both being, Olympians, it's more than a dream. It's just, can't believe that it's soon to be real life. And I think it's just, all the credit goes to, our parents my sister and all of our family and friends, coaches that helped us both get to where we're at. It's not a one man show to become an Olympian. It takes a whole village. And for us, we're very lucky to have each other, to push each other every day throughout the year and throughout the years. We're very lucky to have each other and our whole entire family as well.
Our next question comes from Sean Gregory with Time Magazine. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey, Brady. Matthew just coming back. I'm just curious. I know you've got your own hockey to take care of, but have you got to check out any of his games? How did he look? How confident are you that, he's going to be the Matthew Tkachuk that we all know?
Yeah, the first game he came back, I watched a little bit of that. Then the last two that he played, we were playing, so I couldn't watch him. So I have no doubts about him, and I don't think anybody should have any doubts about him, because the way he plays, those big moments, he always shows up I just know how much work he put in, how much he was able to sacrifice and to get to that next level after he's already achieved the pinnacle of our sport and winning back-to-back Stanley Cups, and how he just wants more. So I wouldn't be worried about on ice performance, because I know wholeheartedly he's going to give everything that he has and he's going to show up in a big moment for us.
We will move next with Nick Hope with Olympic Information Services. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks so much, Mike Brady. Obviously, you mentioned there about it being a family affair. Tell us a little bit about the importance of your dad during your career, and having grown up, I guess, in a house where there is an Olympic medal, what that kind of history and the significance is of the Olympic Games, and going there yourself to try and emulate that, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, he's been very influential for us, growing up. And, him winning a silver medal in 02 at Salt Lake City was, of course, not the medal that he wanted, but to still bring home a medal to show, his hard work. And I remember just a funny story. I brought, I think it was second grade, I brought the silver medal into a show and tell, and I had no idea what the significance of it was, but all my classmates loved it and thought it was the coolest thing ever. So I realized that what I brought in was pretty cool. But for us, being our first Olympics and my dad playing in four, that he hasn't really given us much advice of certain things to expect. I think he just wants us to go in open mind and have our experiences be our own and just take it all in and enjoy every second that, you know, the Olympic Village, the little things of just, you know, being at the rink with your teammates and stuff like that. So just taking that all in and enjoying every second we possibly can.
We will move next with Jason Jerwitz with Sports Travel Magazine. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Brady. There's been a lot written about of late about the rush to finish the main hockey venue in Milan. Are you following those developments, and are there any concerns as a player about competing in an arena that hasn't had a lot of testing yet on the ice?
Honestly, I haven't really followed it. I mean, I've seen clips on social media, but at the end of the day, that's stuff that none of us can control. I'm not worried about it. And quite frankly, I'm probably one of the guys that I could really care less about. It's, you know, all that stuff always works itself out, and just whether, you know, ice is good, ice is not good, doesn't really matter. It's just the opportunity to be playing the Olympics and going out there and competing to win the gold medal is kind of really only mine and our team's mindset that all the little things that we can't control is something that we're not going to worry about. So, but usually always this stuff figures itself out and probably talked about too much leading into it and creating doubt where it just always works out.
And we got some insight from women's downhill legend Michaela Schifrin, who's hoping to add to her Olympic medal haul this year. She's already got two golds and a silver. This will be her fourth Olympic Games. And ESPN today released a docuseries about her, Lindsey Vonn, and others. It's called On the Edge. Here's what she had to say during the teleconference.
Hi, everyone. I'm Michaela Schifrin, as you know. Thanks for the intro, and thank you all so much for joining this call and for telling the stories of the athletes of Team USA. I am personally so excited. Of course, I'm excited for Milan Cortina, but I'm particularly excited about the Alpine team we're bringing into Cortina this year. On the women's side, we are currently first in the Nations Cup standings for overall slalom, GS, and downhill. This success that we've had so far in the World Cup season is actually, it's really unprecedented for the U.S. in our sport in Alpine racing. So, it's been a big season already. We've been in Europe for months, competing every single weekend and often on the weekdays as well. I just skied my 14th World Cup race yesterday in the Czech Republic and actually secured my ninth slalom crystal globe, which is incredibly exciting to do this early in the season, and especially after the past two seasons with kind of battling a couple different pretty serious injuries. I've had two fairly incomplete seasons, and so to be at this point right now in January heading into the Olympics, but also from the perspective of just having a really successful World Cup season, I'm really excited about that. Generally it's just a really cool time for Alpine ski racing, and our team is bringing big energy into Milan Cortina.
We will move next with Seth Doan with CBS News. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Michaela. Thanks for chatting with us. I'm just curious. You've been at this, as we know, several times. I wonder how different each Olympics feels and what you're feeling inside your brain thinking about this competition. Do you think back to Beijing? What do you want to get out of this? Where's your mind at the moment?
Oh, gosh. You know, this is such a good question. I kind of have been asking myself that on a daily basis, to be honest. Every single Olympics I've been to has been just drastically different. I think I've actually been thinking a lot back to Sochi, you know, my first Olympic gold, and being so young, you know, 18 years old going into the Olympics. And I remember so much, you know, so many questions leading up to it. At the time, even though I was quite young, I was already a favorite for a medal in the slalom, and I had won my first slalom globe. It's just crazy to have nine now. Like at the time, I won my first slalom globe, and I was thinking, gosh, you know, the world is my oyster. I'm just so excited to be able to just ski race, and you know, kind of what's the big deal? Since then, I've had so many varying experiences at the Olympics. So I'm coming in with Honestly, I would say a really open mind. I think the one thing you can expect from the Olympics is that things are just not really going to go according to your plan. So you've got to roll with the punches and have a really good open mind. And I think you've heard from the other athletes prior to me talking on this call, like, it's so important to be able to enjoy whatever moments that you can and stay really solid with the team around you and the village who's really gotten you to this point, and find the peaceful moments and find the joyful moments. And that's something that I've had every single games, including Beijing. You know, the headlines from Beijing were certainly a lot on the performance side, but I had some incredible moments behind the scenes even there. But what I can tell you with absolute certainty is that I'm really excited to compete in this games without COVID tests every 24 hours and, you know, just the pandemic being breathing down our necks. You know, it's a very, very different situation to go into this games, and that's a wonderful thing.
Our next question comes from Will Graves with the Associated Press. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey, Michaela, thanks for talking to us this morning. I noticed you said over the weekend, you know, I just love skiing. That's the best feeling to be here. And I'm sort of wondering where that love comes from. Is there something about facing the elements on the mountain that you find appealing? Like, is the challenge of taking on nature sort of part of what attracts you to skiing?
Oh, that's such a great question. You know, sometimes I wonder if I knew exactly where the love came from, you know, if maybe some of the magic is in the mystery. There are certain things that I love in life that I just couldn't tell you why exactly, but there is a piece of the sport for me. I think it's like this tangibility in, I don't know, in this process that's actually really uncertain. Like in ski racing, there are so many variables. You've got weather, you've got snow conditions, the course conditions are deteriorating even throughout the course of a race, from, you know, bib 1 to bib 7 to bib 18 to bib 50. You have all of these unbelievable variables, you know, travel and having to be flexible in that, and like just it's so hard to explain that even. And you know, many people on this call probably are already aware of that. And feeling like I can ski a run in training and look at the timing sheet and then look at the video and do some analysis and then go up, you know, lap around on the chairlift and ski another run and actually make improvements with my own body and my own mindset and actually, you know, move my muscles in a slightly different way and see that play out in essentially in real time on the timing sheet and in the video analysis again, and using the GPS units that we're starting to use to sort of track progress and force and load and, you know, basically body capacity. And these details, it's like, I don't know, the tangibility of that, it's kind of like doing a puzzle in something that's so uncontrollable with so many variables, to be able to feel like you can actually kind of take control in the way. But as you said, there's also, you know, the place that nature, the role that nature plays, is it's actually everything. The mountain, like, you see these sort of taglines like skiing is a dance and the mountain always leads. You have to take all of these things into consideration, these variables and the things you're trying to control. And then you have to, you know, basically just go communicate with the mountain and feel like you're using gravity to your advantage. And you can't try too hard. You have to try hard enough. It's just this beautiful balance that I find really, I don't know, it just keeps me coming back.
Our next question comes from Katie McInerney with Boston Globe. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Michaela. After the Killington crash, you wrote really eloquently about battling PTSD. And I was wondering, what do you think you learned the most about yourself in that process of going through mental health treatment? And where do you feel you're at entering these Olympics?
I think I'm just constantly learning, you know, through the Killington crash, through the recovery of that, weird puncture wound to the abdomen, which is just not a typical injury that you see in ski racing. I think it even opened my eyes further to how complex humans are and how much we really do put our bodies through in alpine ski racing, that you don't really, you know, when you start in the sport, and especially if you're young and your body has this great capacity and you can kind of crash and you can take things, you can kind of take a beating and you can still get up and kind of walk away, and you don't really need as much physical therapy. And, you know, most of the work that you do is, you know, like a little bit reactive to whatever little minor aches and pains you get, but you don't have to do maybe as much proactive work in those young years. And then you start getting older. It's probably a little bit silly for me to talk about being older at 30, but at the same time, my body is maxed out every single day. And, I guess learning about myself and my own mental capacity and my own body capacity and how respectful I have to be of that. It's been an incredible process. It's been like a very painful, literal and literal and metaphorical in all of the different ways. It's been a painful process, even just over the last year. As far as the mental side, this sport just demands so much. And the only way I can really describe it is that last year at this exact time, I was trying to return for the World Championships in Saalbach, Austria. And I was trying to get prepped to race the Giant Slalom and the Slalom for World Championships. And I was training GS, and I could not do it. I could barely even finish a run, not because of crashing, but because when I told my body to go, it just wouldn't. And it's like somehow your body knows when it's too much. And you know, if you flash forward to now, just this past weekend in Czech Republic, I got my first GS podium, actually in 2 years, because I had the injury last year. I also had an injury the season before. So I'd just worked my way back to the Giant Slalom podium. And that, it's crazy to look back on the process. And you have to understand, like everybody needs to understand with these struggles, that they don't work linearly. They don't work in the way you think they're going to or expect they're going to. And you got to listen to yourself, and you have to communicate with the people who are around you and helping you. And time helps. Exposure helps. Like, it doesn't work to just back away from your fears, but it works to take them on in kind of bite-sized pieces.
Our next question comes from Pat Graham with Associated Press. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey, so I guess what would a young Michaela Schifrin, the one who grew up idolizing Marlee Shields and Bodie Miller, think of winning 9 slalom titles, 108 World Cup races, and 2 Olympic gold medals?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I think she'd say it's someone else. You know, it's like, I've always been a generally happy person as a kid. Like, my parents always, you know, describe me as just like a really happy kid. It's kind of giggly, pretty goofy, honestly quite awkward. I never felt like I had a lot of self-esteem. You know, I'd walk into a cafeteria, and if I didn't have a friend walking in with me, to be honest, I wouldn't walk in at all. Like, I just never really just stomped into rooms feeling real great about myself and feeling, honestly, like not really feeling a lot of belief in what I could accomplish or what the future would look like for myself in sport. And I don't know if that's different. I mean, sometimes it feels a little bit different from the way a lot of athletes talk about their upbringing and talking about, you know, really emphasizing you have to believe in yourself. You have to believe in yourself, and you never stop believing even when everyone else doubts you. And I maybe had a little bit of a different path there. I just really, really trusted hard work, and the way my parents brought up both my brother and myself was like, you can be methodical, you can love the process of improving, you can really, really enjoy, you know, doing the drills and the work and the maintenance work and the mental work and watch visualization, all of these things. Like, it's really fun. And so we did that with every sport, with windsurfing and tennis and soccer, and of course with skiing. And I just trusted in that process so much that it almost took the necessity to believe or like have full confidence in myself. It kind of took that out of it. So now you flash forward to this period of time. I think if you asked me when I was 12, 13, 14, I would have been like, that's not me. Like, she's someone entirely different. The irony is, I think that mentality is one of the things that's been, you know, that I've learned. Maybe I was partially born with it. Maybe I've definitely learned it along the way. You know, it's just all about the steps you take along the way and those little, just the little things you do on a daily basis. And that's what's gotten me here, you know, not belief in the future, but just so much trusting in what's happening right now.
Now, some of these comments were cut for times, but context wasn't altered. As I said, we're kind of crunching for time here. We've got a lot more athletes we want to introduce you for. As I said, we're kind of crunching for time now. We've got a lot of athletes we still want to introduce you to before the opening ceremony. So we'll do a midweek drop on women's hockey just days before the games. And 1 week from today, we've got our conversation with an athlete you'll probably be seeing. And 1 week from today, we've got a conversation with an athlete you'll probably be seeing and hearing a lot from over the next month on the ice and on the podium, Jordan Stolz. I'm Ryan Burrow. Keep checking up on the Quest for Gold podcast feed either at WGNRadio.com, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. I also want you to keep an eye out for Nexstar's special Olympic coverage streaming shows during the games and actually starting next week, including live reports from Milan, athlete interviews, and expert analysis. More on that coming up.